Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's Father's Day, so I wanted to show a picture of my dad. He's not here with us today. I'll be giving him a call later on. But when I think about dads, I think about what they passed down from one generation to the next. I know my dad is passionate about sports, playing baseball, slow pitch softball and volleyball, and he coached basketball and track and in middle school. And so he was always doing something athletic, and that got passed down to me. I'll admit today, I watch a lot more sports than I play, but I still have a passion for sports. I also think about my dad had a little bit of a dry sense of humor, and so that's one of the things that passed down as well. But I always knew that my dad loved me. And I remember one time in our family, a big thing was 4th of July. In Nebraska, you can shoot off just about anything you want to. And so for a whole week before 4th of July, you get to shoot off fireworks. And so I remember one summer I was working up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where I went to school. And I was going to come back home and be with family and friends. And my car wouldn't start. And so I called, sorry, Dad, I'm not going to make it down. And so my mom and dad drove the 4.5 hours up, picked me up, drove the 4.5 hours back so that it could be with family and friends. And you know, when I think about my dad, I'm thankful. Thankful for what God has done in his life and what he's passed down to my life. My dad was somebody who you went to church every Sunday. My dad was somebody that I read his word and was a part of Bible studies, and that faith has been passed down as well. And so if my dad's listening to this sermon online ever, thank you, Dad, all right? And so today we're talking about sharing. And I think about dads, I think dads have more impact on the lives of people than sometimes what we give credit for. And what is the impact that we have? As Talmadge Lutheran Church, the impact we're trying to have is to help people grow as disciples of Jesus, care for one another as the body of Christ, and then share the love of Jesus in our community, growing, caring. And so what we talked about those last 2 weeks, what's what we're going to talk about today? Growing, caring, and sharing. And so how do we share this faith? How do we share this Jesus that is in us, this love we have received from our Heavenly Father with the people around us? I'm going to look at our gospel text for today and how Jesus, he selects his 12 disciples and then he sends them out. He has this influence in their lives and he gives them a job to do to influence the world. We hear in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus went out the cities and the villages doing two things, teaching, proclaiming, kind of the go hand in hand, but then he was also healing. He was sharing the good news, but then he was also being with the people, meeting their tangible needs. And when he saw the crowds, what emotion did he have? He had compassion. He had compassion because they were harassed and helpless. Do you ever see people who are harassed and helpless? All right. Maybe just life seems to be more than what they can take. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're old. Maybe they're just life happens. But when Jesus saw people who were helpless and harassed, and maybe you felt that way, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus came to invite us to follow him. Jesus came to invite the whole world to hear and receive what only he can give: forgiveness, life, and salvation. So he calls us to follow him. But then he told the disciples that the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people who aren't a part of God's kingdom, but there's a problem. What's the problem with the harvest? It's so much, but there's not enough people to collect it. The laborers are few. How's the harvest in the United States? Are there people who need to know Jesus Christ? Are there people, the Bible teaches, you know, that without Jesus Christ, our sins separate us from God, that they are lost without a shepherd. And so the harvest is still plentiful today. In the world today, the third largest mission field is the United States of America. On a typical Sunday, 18% of Americans are in worship. And I think there's work to be done. The laborers are few. And so Jesus gives, this is the first action step I want you to kind of get into your head today. Jesus tells the disciples to do what? To pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so we're going to pray today, and I really think that sharing starts with praying. Sharing starts with praying before the Lord to send out missionaries like we had George and Margot Fretz last Sunday. Where are they going? They're going to Thailand. God called them to go serve far away. But maybe God has placed you with a neighbor or a friend or a family member, and you know that they don't know, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't follow him. Where do you start? I really think you start with praying. Praying that God may reach into their heart and in their life. Pray that God would raise up laborers that can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Our text goes on that then Jesus called his 12 to him and he gave them authority. I think this is so important because when God calls us to do something, the strength doesn't come from us. It's the authority that God gives us by his power, by his word, by his Holy Spirit. What Jesus gives authority to, he allows to happen. If we trust in ourselves, it's not going to happen, but if we trust in the Lord, acknowledge him in all his our ways, he makes our path straight. And so he has given us this authority. And so with this authority, Jesus sent out the 12, instructing them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Imagine if I gave you that list today, right? Come on, people of God, let's go out into Talmadge. Let's go out into Stowe, into the Akron. I just want you to just place your hand on somebody and heal them. I just want you to raise the dead. I just want you, nothing, just cleanse the lepers, the people that nobody else will touch, right? Cast out demons. No biggie. You know, considering that's what Jesus asked them to do, what are we called to do? Share the good news. Witness the faith that we have. And I think this, what this looks like today is that sharing means investing in people. These disciples, they had to be where people were at. They had to get into their lives to know their needs. They had to pray that God may heal and restore. Today, maybe we don't have those kind of diseases. We have those problems, but there's a darkness that covers this land. There's a darkness that covers people's hearts that only the love of Jesus Christ can break through. And as we pray, I think God leads us to invest in people, that as we influence them, we share with them the hope that we have, the faith that we have, it rubs off. God provides doors that open that we might share the reason for the hope that we have. But then Jesus also told the disciples to proclaim God's kingdom is at hand. Salvation is at hand. God is near. And invite them into following Jesus, into the kingdom of God. And so the third thing I think about sharing is that sharing leads to invitation. Maybe it's inviting someone into your life. It's inviting someone over for dinner. It's inviting someone for coffee. It's investing in them and then inviting them maybe to church. maybe to a church picnic. Maybe it's inviting them to know Jesus Christ. You see, God is the one that's already working in their heart. And so as we pray, as we invest, as we invite, God goes into the harvest field and gathers people to be his forever. So I want to challenge you as we think about sharing. What does that mean? What does that look like? Can you say these words with me? Pray, invest, invite. Another way of thinking about it is you got the big prayer going first, and then the I. It's focused on people. We go to the Lord in prayer, and then we invest and we invite the people around us to receive what we've received, this faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we did in Cool Day? We went and we knocked on doors, and after prayer, God led us to Stadium Drive. There were people walking on Stadium Drive every Monday evening and Saturday morning in these red bibs. It was covered. That whole street was covered by prayer. And then Hannah and Kyle and my wife and I and Steve Slayer is another pastor, we went and we knocked on doors and we started to build relationships with the people that live there, saying, hey, we've got something that sounds too good to be true. We want to help you. We want to serve you. We want to invest in you. But I think that the final part of Cool Day is inviting, going back and knocking on doors and saying, hey, how are you doing? I still care, even though we helped that Saturday. Do you have a church home? Do you know Jesus? Can we share with you more than just helping you with your house? But can we help you with what you need most, a Savior, Jesus Christ? It's also what we're trying to do with International Friendship Connection. It's a ministry to international students at Kent State. We have about six families that have said, Pastor, I want more information about this. There are three training events this summer that help you know, well, how do I pray for these international students? How do I invest in them as a friend? And then how do I invite them into my life, into my church, so that we don't have to go to China or India to be a missionary, because they're coming to us. And that's what I love about International Friendship Connection. You have a chance to invest and invite a foreigner that comes to the United States for school. And lastly, isn't that what we do in VBS? And you heard Hannah talk about what we've been recovering this with prayer. Throughout this week, we're going to be investing in the kids and the families. And then next Sunday, we're going to try something new. All the VBS kids are going to be invited to sing at our late service, all right? So I don't know what that's going to be, how many are going to come, but we're going to invite them to hear God's word, to be in fellowship in this place, not just during the week, but to be a part of worship. And so VBS, again, pray, invest, invite. How can God use you to be a missionary where he has planted you? Is there someone that right now maybe comes to your mind that you say, you know, God, that's where the harvest is. Lord, I'm going to start praying for them. And Lord, I'm not going to maybe be offended by their lifestyle, but I'm going to invest in that person. Even though I may not agree with everything, but I'm going to invest in them because they're helpless. God, may you invite them. May you call them by the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, who died on the cross, who rose again, that all people might be a part of your kingdom. May this be something that we do here at Talmadge Lutheran Church, growing, caring, and sharing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, Lord, to seek and to save the lost. Thank you, Lord, for finding each one of us, for calling us now to follow you. May you use us. May we say, here am I, Lord, send me, that as we go to our workplaces, to our places of fellowship, even sometimes into our families, help us, O Lord, to begin our relationship with prayer, to invest in the people, to show them compassion. And Lord, as we're able to invite them to share with them your kingdom, and invite them to receive all the gifts that Jesus has won for us on the cross. Lord, enable us by your Holy Spirit to pray, invest, and invite. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.